Would you please open your Bible in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 11, verses 17 to 27. Chapter 11 of the book of John. The Gospel of St. John. This chapter is titled Christ, the Resurrection and the Life. Reading from verse 17 of chapter 11 of St. John, the Gospel of St. John, commences this way. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother shall rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who has believed in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And when he had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary to her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." Amen. I just added one verse. Heavenly Father, the hour has come. Will you please speak with authority at this hour? We know that your word is authoritative because it is your word. Erase every form of sin in us, and in particular in my heart. Cover me with your precious blood, O Lord, and hide me behind thy cross, so that this truth that you proclaim to this family, to these sisters, and the neighborhood, and the whole of Israel, would be continually reviewed in our hearts, and grant us joy in knowing that this is the message of hope to those who are mourning because of the loss of their loved ones. Lord, continue to cause our hearts, sins, to mourn for them and to seek genuine repentance of our sin. And thank you for your precious blood that can wash away our sin. Speak to us now, O Lord, by granting us peace with teachability and humility in our hearts. May we absorb these truths, that we may live for you and say, "Christ is risen. Hallelujah." In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Many brothers or sisters, or perhaps sisters, in every, perhaps, family all over the world have that tendency, especially those who are older member, the eldest member of the family, or if a son, the eldest brother, they have a habit of developing some kind of, as if they are the extension of the father's authority or the mother's authority. And you know what I'm talking about. When you're the eldest, you have that sense of authority to help your younger one, your younger brothers and sisters. And if you are a brother, you also have that kind of a sense of extended authority from your parents. We can easily see this pattern of behavior or strong personality in the life of Martha, which is the older sister of Mary and Lazarus. She was used to being in control because she's the eldest. Martha was worried about the details of preparing food and even cleaning when they have a visitor. She wished to please and to serve and to do the right thing all the time. But she often succeeded in making everyone around her, particularly in the presence of our Lord, it make her a bit uncomfortable because of these details in her mind, that she wants everything to be exactly done in the proper order in the house. Perhaps cleanliness is what is implied here. Perhaps as the oldest, she feared a shame if her home did not meet the standard of expectation of cleanliness and orderliness, as can be accepted in that tradition at that time. Later, following her brother Lazarus' death, Martha could not help being herself. When she heard Jesus was finally coming, she rushed to meet him and express her inner conflict of disappointment and hope. Jesus pointed out that her hope was too limited. He was not only the Lord over death, but he was the resurrection and the life. This is what he's going to try to present to her, that her hope, her priority is out of place. Follow your sister priority, Mary, who did the right thing. So moments later, Martha again spoke without thinking. In verse 38, pointing out that 4 days dead body of her brother is on the process of decaying. That's why in verse 38 it says, "Lord, he is already decaying, and the stench or the bad smell is there inside the tomb." Of course, when the Lord ordered that the tomb shall be opened, that is a reaction. Her awareness of details sometimes kept her from seeing the whole picture of what God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, tried to impress upon her. But Jesus was consistently patient with her. Even in verse 40, if you look at that. In verse 40, Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" That's the response of the Lord in the earlier statement of Martha in verse 38. That the body is already decaying. But the Lord Jesus said, if you only believe, you will see the glory of God. That is the essence of Christ's message. And it's coming in this particular scene of a family mourning over the death of their brother. Throughout the chapter, we can sense that Jesus intends to raise Lazarus. And for this reason, he delayed his coming intentionally so that he can test the faith of the family, particularly Martha, as you already have heard in verse 40, that if you believe, Martha, you will see the glory of God. The question asked over and over again in this particular chapter is found in the last on the lips is found last on the lips of the Jews in verse 37. Let's look at that verse 37. This is very interesting to note. When the Lord Jesus saw Mary as well was crying, and they saw the love for the family, Jesus' love for the family, these people, some of them, had questions in their mind, even though some of them see how he loved this family, how he loved Lazarus. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also could have helped this man from dying? That's the question. But of course, God knows. The Lord Jesus knows what's in their mind. He gave sight to the blind man, didn't he? Could he not have kept Lazarus from dying? But healing, I would like to point to you, the healing that they expect, so that those questioned by some Jewish friends of this family, that he should have just done the miracle of healing. But that's not what's in the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ. He can master and do healing at any point in time. But healing can only help us as much and so far it can reach for relieving the pain. But healing is not what is important here. It does not solve the problem of death. When you heal, you will still be dying, isn't it? Because you will be sick again. So the answer to death is not healing or miraculous healing, but the resurrection. That's why in verse 25, the Lord Jesus said, after Mary said to him in verse 24, I know that you will rise again in the resurrection. Because Jesus said to Martha, your brother will rise again. That is his response to the earlier statement of Martha. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So this is the assurance of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even earlier with his disciples, let's go to Bethany. But the disciples said, don't you know that they are about to stone you? Why go there again? We have 12 hours a day. When the light is there, you have that 12 hours to do your work. When the light comes, you stumble because there's no light. But what he's trying to impress here is that the opportunity to minister in the daytime and also in the nighttime, that doesn't matter because God can do a lot of work of miraculous intervention. So, whatever you ask of God, see, Martha has faith. Despite her doubts, as it is a sort of rebuke, isn't it? In verse 21, that, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that you ask of God. Whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And that's faith. She got faith. And the Lord Jesus' encouragement is that your brother will rise again. That's a significant assertion of truth, that he will rise again. And of course, again, that little doubt kept creeping there. I know that he will rise again, Lord, in the resurrection of the last day. You're wrong, Martha. Right now, I am telling you, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die again. Do you believe this? So to comfort Martha in her grief at Lazarus' death, the Lord Jesus assured her again and again in verse 23, thy brother will live again or will rise again. And of course, that doubt, as some of us, you know, will miss that truth. Oh, you know, some people will say, oh, why God doesn't just forgive us our sins? That's a lot of questions rising up, an issue. Why does God ask to suffer for our sins? Why don't he just forgive us? But that's a wrong argument of people. There are a lot of students in the Bible, in the seminary. Why God has to die on the cross? Some people ask me this question as well. But they don't know the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man is separate. It's not comparable to the wisdom of God. So God's solution to our predicament of sin is the sacrificial death, the crucifixion of Christ and his resurrection. So that comfort relived again and again in the Word of God, that despite Martha's rebuke, that if the Lord had come earlier, the brother did not die. But the Lord, in his answer, even to the disciples, said that man, Lazarus, whom we are going to visit, is sleeping. Can you imagine? But their mind is not in that mode. He's dead. That's why when he arrived on the scene in Bethany, in the house of Martha and Mary, Lazarus is already 4 days dead and decomposing. And yet you will say to your disciples, he is only sleeping because he knows there's nothing difficult for him. That's why he said in verse 23, he will rise again. Your brother will rise again. Is that a reflection of what the Lord is going to live out in the next few days and face the crucifixion? When Martha took this as a reference in 11:23, the future day of resurrection, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. In verse 25, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What he's saying here in verse 25, this is what it means. I am the giver and the sustainer of my people's physical, spiritual, and eternal life. In stating this, the Lord Jesus echoes three vital truths of gospel truths which we should take note. The first note, gospel truth, that we need to take note is that the revelation that he wants to reveal to us. Christ reveals these amazing truths. First, he is the possessor of life in himself. In John 5:26, he said, for just as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted to the Son to have life in himself. So he is revealing this truth that Jesus is a possessor of life eternal, which is the resurrection life, which he indicated that your brother, in verse 23, will rise again. Creatures have lived, that is, from God, from generation to generation. We are living nowadays because of the mercy and grace of God. We are being preserved day by day, not because of the food we eat, but by God's grace. He prolonged our life to continually taste and see that the Lord is good. It is the unique prerogative of God to have life in himself. That is 5:26 of John. Second is the giver of life to the spiritually and physically dead. That means not only that time, even today, those who we try witness so that the gospel of grace can persistently go to the homes and individually to the people we come in contact with. That those who are spiritually dead can receive eternal life. Because before they will even have physical death, they have a chance to know the Lord and Savior of their lives. And third is the sustainer of life in his people, to whom he raises from the dead unto life. He will never lose that life. In other words, we who are redeemed, we will never lose this eternal life. They will continue to live even if they die, according to verse 25. He will raise their bodies from the grave, so that body and soul reunited, they will live with him in the everlasting glory which is in heaven. And then the second note of gospel truths is that the note of consolation. Consolation. It is comforting to know that this particular point, here is comfort for all who sorrow over loved ones, particularly Martha and Mary, whose loved ones are dead or physically and spiritually. But of course, for this family, their brother is saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he loved Lazarus. No soul is too dead for Christ to quicken, or too weak to receive his grace. In other words, there's nothing difficult, there's nothing soul that's difficult to save. Although we find it hard to answer why people does not respond as they should, it's because the scripture says people love their sin. That's why. They need to know that Christ can forgive those sins and wash those sins to his precious blood. So that is the cure. When people know that there's a way back to God through the power of the precious blood of the Lamb, that they can come back and be quickened to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of the cross should actually be our message all the time. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. It's 2:27's message. No sorrow can dim the glory of his promise. In verse 25. He gives a blessed hope that lightens the deepest bereavement. Can you imagine? Those who believe in him. In me, he said, though he may die, he shall live. And that should actually tackle our depressing moment, our difficulty in facing our trials and every form of pain and sorrow day by day. We should have that hope that even though the death that is awaiting because of sickness, persistent pain, though we will die, yet we will live. And that is a great comfort. And we should actually relive this truth when we are about to face death. Even the actual sickness, even though there is not death threatening at the moment, but we must be preparing ourselves in facing death without fear. And this is a good encouragement for all of us. And whoever lives, in verse 26, and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Well, what that means, that whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. We will never die spiritually anymore. Although death will come, but we will be reunited with the living Savior because of this new resurrection life that we possess. So we shall not face with fear day by day whatever that causes us fear, particularly when we are beset with sickness, our loved ones with sickness, and are about to die. There's one man, when Billy Graham came into this country to preach publicly the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's one of the preachers of the Methodist group. I think his last name is Reverend Sanker. And he said to Billy Graham, when Billy Graham visited him, he's about to die, this minister, this pastor, said, he wrote a note to Reverend Graham. He said, "Reverend Graham, please, would you please tell to me, for me, to all the audience tonight, that Christ is enough in times of death. Christ is enough in times of death." Can you imagine? That man is about to die and is asking one of the greatest evangelists in the world on the television to say that message, even though he's dying. And of course, Billy Graham did exactly that. That Christ is enough. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, shall live again. And that should be our constant encouragement and strength in times of sickness. Not only in times of sickness, in times of joy. Because we need to relive this truth so that day by day, we are ready to face death without fear. So that verse 26, 25 and 26 should continue to grant and spark blessed hope day by day. Jesus is deeply affected by the sight of mourning. In this particular circumstances of Lazarus' death. When they take him to the tomb, people noticed that the Lord Jesus wept. When he saw Mary, and Mary was told about Jesus calling her through Martha, she quickly went out and met the Lord Jesus. She said the same thing, "Lord, my brother would not have died if you came earlier." And the Lord, when he saw Mary crying and weeping, he was moved. "Where did you put his body?" And then led him to the tomb, which we are now taking into consideration. When they took him to the tomb, the Lord Jesus wept. To the Jews, this is evidence of his love to Lazarus. And some of them wonder why he did not intervene sooner. Perhaps there were also anger at the unbelief or half-belief of those who could not see that he was able and can able to fulfill his claim to raise the dead. His weeping in any event at this particular moment is not on the same level as theirs. It seems that Jesus' weeping goes a great deal deeper than sympathy. It is his preparation for grappling the reality of the power of death that is here at the moment and on the cross, which is the crucifixion. We will see that in Hebrew. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2, of what the Lord Jesus is actually experiencing in this moment of weeping with his family. Hebrews chapter 2. His weeping is different from those who wept. about this Lazarus' death. It is as a deeper level than sympathy. Let's look at chapter 2, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2. It says here, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So what Jesus is weeping here is the effect of sin, the sin tyranny over any person, over all of us who are sinners, and the resultant death of sin. And he is grappling to that reality, that he's weeping because he weeps over sinners' sin. He is concerned that they will come back to him. That he's grappling about what he's going to experience on this crucifixion, about to experience, and also on the cross, which is going to face his death. So our redemption was achieved at tremendous cost to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see at verse 36. In John 11. Let's go back to John 11. Verse 36. Then, in verse 35, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said to him, "See how we love him." It was not his weeping, but his death, which is going to show his love, not only particularly to this family of Lazarus, and not only for Lazarus himself, but for the whole world. That is what he is weeping about. Not just the weeping about Lazarus passing away, but the reality that is grappling at this moment, that is about to pay for the price of the sins of the world, which is his imminent crucifixion and hanging on that cross, which will culminate in his death. And we will now come to the third point of the note of application. In verse 37, this is the challenge of the statement of the fact in verse 25, which he challenged Martha. Because remember, he said in verse 24, "I know he will rise again at the resurrection day, on the last day." Only, but Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live again. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? That is verse 26. And then, also in verse 37, some of them could not, this man who opened the eyes of the blind also kept this man from dying. There are some doubts there, but the Lord Jesus, that this is the reality. Believe this, because I am the resurrection and the life. Even physical life or physical death cannot rob them of their glorious destiny. Oh, death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin. But the greatest victory is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he is the resurrection and the life. So the all-important question is, believest thou this? Do we believe, really, that we as Christians as well, that we should not fear death when it comes? We are always living in the grace of Christ when we are dying. Whatever your need, be it salvation or consolation, let us put our trust in Him who is the resurrection and the life. These miracles at this chapter makes it clear that the promise of resurrection is fulfilled in the coming of Jesus. Faith in Him gives life now and the promise of life after death. The resurrection life, which the Lord Jesus mentioned in 25, verse 25 and 26, makes it clear. It begins with faith and is not destroyed by the death of the body. In other words, though we will die, the fact of resurrection, life, will not vanish. It will stay as He promised. We will experience new life, new resurrection life in Christ. We will live again, just like what He did to Lazarus. We are prone to look on sin and blame sin and sickness and death as our enemies, as form of disasters of our lives. It seems that death has robbed a lot of people, that includes you and me, of their happiness when we lose our loved ones. Remember how gracious our Lord Jesus was in giving each one of us the one who brought you from that happiness into a new life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that God has taken the one from you in death, whenever that may be, or your friends, even in this particular instance in Martha's experience, and Mary, their loved ones being taken away, God has a purpose. We should not worry about losing them because they are promoted to heaven. We should remind ourselves that God wants only the best in His eternal city, which is heaven. He will comfort and console each one of us as you put your faith in Him. Just like this heavenly place that He prepared for us, He shared this with His disciples. I have prepared a place for you in heaven. If it were not true, if it were not so, I would immediately tell you. But it's true. That's why He echoed this truth again and again, that it should comfort us in time of need, in times of death, and death of our loved ones, friends and relatives. He is the resurrection and the life. So in the darkness of death, let's remember that the new day of resurrection is dawning. Every day, the new dawn of resurrection. Remember the 227? Christ is risen, hallelujah. That should be our daily encouragement, as David encouraged himself in the Lord. Our Lord said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. God had but one son, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, and he died for you and me. His resurrection is a token of our own resurrection in that day when he shall come to take us home in heaven, which is expressed in John 14, 1-3, which says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The question now, do you believe this? Proverbs 24 is a timely verse that Brother William raised up a while ago. Let's go back to that. Proverbs 24, verse 10. It's a good thing It's a good comforting verse for all of us in relation to our topic tonight. Let's look at it again for our comfort. And our brother raised the question, how shall we then cope with the day-by-day trials, difficulties, life-threatening sickness, and constant bombardment of doubts about the unknown future? How shall we cope in these days of wicked world? Well, it's the answer. It's a question that we must face. 24 Proverbs verse 10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. But how are we going to answer this question, this statement of predicament? It's the same that the Lord Jesus Christ answered Martha. Lord, my brother will only rise at the last day. Martha, today I'm telling you, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, shall live again. Those who live and believe in me shall never die again. What a tremendous reservoir of hope and encouragement and strength in times of trouble. Let's hold on to these truths. John 14, 1 to 3, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. There are many mansions in his Father's house. The Lord is saying, I prepare the place for you. Let's believe this truth, day by day. Indeed, Christ is risen. Let's proclaim hallelujah. Amen.